Be turning in your Bibles to John 3:16. And these verses tell us why Jesus came to earth and what the result of not believing in him is. John 3:16 through verse 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's start in these verses in verse 18. We see that if we believe, we are not condemned. But if we do not believe, we are condemned. So why, besides this, is Jesus coming important to us? Look in verse 16. The first four words, for God so loved, he loves us. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us, and that is why Jesus came to earth. But why did we need Jesus? We see at the end of verse 16 that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in verse 17, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We're saved through Jesus, and Jesus loves us. So as we go about this study, we need to remember that the words of Jesus are coming from someone who loves us and from someone who we need salvation from. We should believe in him, and our belief, if it is an act of belief, we can be saved by it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us gather together today and worship for you and to learn more about you through your word. Help us to apply what we learn to our lives and be with us who are speaking. Help us to remember what we have prepared and speak the truth. Father, be with all of those that need you, the traveling and the sick. Please be with the doctors that are attending them, but even more than that, be with those that are actually sick. Put your healing hand upon them and help them to get better. Help us to be strengthened in what we believe by the study tonight, and help that belief to shine in the world as its lights before men. Thank you for all of our many blessings. Help us not to take these blessings for granted, and help us to remember that we are saved through your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
If you will, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 5 and 6. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In verse 5, Thomas asked Jesus, how could they know the way if Jesus did not tell them? He was talking about a physical path. Although Jesus replied to them, I am the way. He's talking about he's the only way for us to get to heaven. If you will turn to John 1, verse 17. The passage reads, For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus we can now be saved. Instead of putting off our sins another year and another year like the Jews used to, we can finally be forgiven through the blood of Christ and be right with God. Turn to another passage, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. This passage reads, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. We talk to God through Jesus in prayer, and we get right with God through Jesus in baptism. In prayer, we conclude it with, Through your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And in baptism, we confess that Jesus is the Christ, and we are saved through serving and obeying. The only way to get to the Father and to heaven is through Jesus Christ and to serve him and God.
If you will, please turn to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. When I read this verse, I first thought of how we need to be prepared for the judgment day. And the way we become prepared is read the Bible and doing what it says. In John 21, verses 24 through 25, it says, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which they were written one by one. I suppose that even if the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Which means John witnessed Jesus do all these miracles and signs, and he didn't write them all down, but he only wrote the ones down that we need because those are the only ones we need to believe. In John 20 through chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, it says, "And surely Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have his life and his name." If you want to be rewarded in the judgment day, reading the Bible is the best way to be prepared.
I will be reading from Matthew 6:33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you." We must make the will of God the number one priority in your life. We do this by serving God instead of physical things, letting the lamp of our body be a good eye, focus clearly on that which is good, true, and righteous. Do this, and God will provide for your physical needs, for he is certainly willing and certainly able. Do not worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble with which to concern yourself. We are not capable of handling tomorrow's worries, and worrying about the future only distracts us from the duties of the present. Let tomorrow take care of itself by trusting in God and doing God's will today. Let your undivided attention be given to seeking God's rule in your life, and concern yourself with his righteousness, not your riches. The motto of many is, do not worry, be happy. But Jesus qualifies that motto by saying, don't worry, seek God's will first, and you will be happy. If we take to heart what Jesus says, then our lives will be like homes built on a rock. No matter what storms of life may come our way, our treasure is in heaven, and our Father will provide for us during our earthly duty. If we do not heed Jesus' teachings, then we must go through life on earth without God's help, and we have no hope of eternity with God when we die. This is why we must seek first the kingdom of God.
Please turn to John 5, verse 24. The setting is at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus has just healed the lame man, and the Jews were persecuting him for healing on the Sabbath day. And the Jews also wanted to kill Jesus for making himself equal with God. Verse 24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." So Jesus is talking about the basis of faith and that it is crucial for salvation. He says that God sent him and that you have to believe in Jesus and the Father in order to have everlasting life. I'll turn to Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. This is during the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and have done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Here we see that faith isn't the only thing that we have to have for salvation. Jesus said you must have faith. You must have to have faith with works. James 2:17 says that faith without works is dead. Jesus also says that there will be those who say to him that they have done his work, but the Lord will say that I never knew you. Because many
many people don't read the Bible for themselves and find out that what they are doing is wrong, even though that they think they are doing what is right. We need to always make sure that we are in accordance with the scriptures so that we don't have to go through that on the judgment day.
If you have your Bibles with you and you want to follow along, please turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, we read of how Jesus, when he was 12 years old, became separated from his parents. When they realized that he was lost, they returned to Jerusalem and found him in the temple, discussing scripture with the religious leaders of his day. Jesus said to his parents in Luke 2:49, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" Just as the parents of Jesus sought him when he was physically lost, we are today to seek those who are spiritually lost. Please turn to Matthew 28:19-20. And here we read of, at the end of Jesus' ministry, just before he ascended to heaven, Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples. He said to them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen." We as Christians need to remember our responsibility to seek the lost today and teach them the gospel.
If you would turn to me, if you would please turn with me to Matthew 11:25-30. In this passage, Jesus is saying in his prayer to God that he is thankful for revealing himself to those who have humble and honest hearts because they believe in the works that he did and that he is the Son of God. And he says to them, "At this time, Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you would also turn with me to Hebrews 4, I'll be starting in verse 1. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, 'Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, who has entered his rest, as himself also ceased from all his works, as did God from his." What I believe this verse is talking about is that Jesus is true rest, and he wants you to come to him so you can have true rest in him.
If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil take, taketh him up into the holy city and sets him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Then Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, All these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. In life, we tend to worry about material things, but what we really need to worry about is where we stand with God and how well we know his scriptures. Or if we know his scriptures, we will be able to overcome temptation. But if we don't know, we will most likely fall under the temptation. But some people say it's impossible, but it's not. For the scriptures say, God will not tempt thee above which you are able. And in these verses, Jesus has showed us that we can't overcome temptation if you know the will of God and the Bible, and he has paved the way for us, and all we must do is follow.
If you'd like to follow along, I'll be giving mine from John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Now, before this, I want to say that this is right after Lazarus' death. So Mary and Martha are just filled with sorrow, as you could probably imagine. But when Martha heard that Jesus was coming back to Bethany, she went out to go to him. As it says in verse 21, Martha therefore said to him, Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother shall rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Then continuing in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. To me, this verse means that even when our physical life is over, we'll be going to a much better place. A place without pain, a place without sorrow or death. We'll go to heaven. But believing isn't the only thing you need to go to heaven. As it says in verse 26, And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who comes into the world. So you must believe in Christ and be willing to live in Christ. As Jesus said, Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So I ask you, do you believe this?
I'm going to be reading from John 14, verses 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. One of my favorite things about this verse is that it's one that we can look to when we maybe need a little bit of reassurance or comfort. It says, let not your heart be troubled because we believe in him. And I think that's a very reassuring thought. He says that in my Father's house are many mansions, and he goes to prepare a place for us. If there were no pain on earth, it would already be heaven. But there is pain, and there are troubles. And I think we can find comfort in thinking about the place of refuge that God has prepared for us. When he says, if I go, I will come again, he isn't suggesting that he might go. It's kind of like, what goes up must come down. When he goes, he will come again. He also says, we know the way where he goes. And I think that that's true. We know the way to eternal life. And I think we can find hope in that future.
This past spring, two college softball teams, Western Oregon University and Central Washington, faced off on a regular season game. Sarah Tucholsky on the Western Oregon team hit her first career home run. As she was running to first, she missed the bag. She went around to touch the base, but she twisted her knee and collapsed. Everyone knew that she could get a pinch runner to run for her, but she would only get one base credited to her. If her teammates touch her, she would be called out. While showing a tremendous act of sportsmanship, two girls from the opposing team picked up Tucholsky and carried around the bases and touched all the bases so that she could earn her first home run. Baseball and softball have rules that everyone has to know and follow in order to win. The Bible is the same way. Mark 16:16 reads, "He believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." In that game, the rules were simple. All the bases had to be touched. Teammates couldn't assist the injured player, and a pinch runner would cancel the home run. The rules were followed, and she made it home. If we follow the Bible, we can all get home to heaven. We need to hear, believe, repent, and be baptized. But we can't stop there. We must live as a faithful Christian. If you're ready to follow those simple rules to get to heaven, you have teammates here who are ready to help you.